So we're going to talk about anger today.
Why are you scared everybody away? You never put your theme out.
I know, seriously. Maybe
you
that's
put
the
your
problem.
Theme out and nobody's theme out.
I don't want to talk about
that.
I did. I sent an email. Terrible.
That's it.
I'm so mad.
What's the theme?
What's the theme here?
I actually said that I was speaking in a row yesterday, and I gave them a little taste of it. And I said, a girl was like playing with their cell phone, because they all do that. They're just texting back and forth all day long. I don't know how they focus on anything. And I said, this student, she's tick, 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 tick on her cell phone. Imagine if I got so upset, I just took the cell phone and I threw it against the wall and smashed it to a million pieces. I said, do you think I'd be here next week? And they said, no, we don't think you'd be here next week. Okay, so I said, achat kama v'kama. Let's look at the parsha for a second. Okay? This week's parsha, Chet Ha'egel. We're in chapter 32, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Tet Vav. Lamed Bet Tet Vav. Lamed Bet Tet Vav. 32:15. Says the Torah, so Hashem said to Moshe, this is already in the middle of the story, so Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, he already told him what happened. He told him, Moshe, they're on Har Sinai and having a great time. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, you got to go. It's time to go because your people, the ones that you took out of Mitzrayim, they made an Egel HaZahav. And Moshe's like, me? I didn't take anybody out of anywhere. I helped a little bit, but... Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu knows what's going on. Perek Tetvav. Vayifen vayered Moshe minahar ushne luchot ha'idut biyado. Luchot k'tuvim mishne evrehem mizeh u'mizehem k'tuvim. So Moshe turned and he went down from the mountain and the two luchot ha'idut, two luach tablets of testimony are in his hands, written from both sides. From here and from here, they were written. We've spoken about the Luchot before, about the miraculous nature of the Luchot, the writing on both sides, it's impossible, but they did it anyway. The Luchot are the act of God. And the writing is the writing of God, charut, hewn,
carved
into the Luchot. Etched into the Luchot. Okay, so the Ribbono Shel Olam himself took the time, to write the Luchot, Kaviyachal, by hand. Vayishma Yehoshua, and Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down with these Luchot in his hands. Anybody want to get, how big are the Luchot?
Imagine they're kind of heavy.
You imagine they're heavy. Do we have any idea how big they are? How big would it be, did it have to be to write, It's interesting.
I don't know if we can even imagine it because we can't imagine the writing on both sides.
Right. It's unclear. I mean, that's actually an issue, a very interesting issue, how big they were. That's A. B, what kind of stone were they?
Well, they had to finish the Aron, so.
Okay, they had to finish the Aron. That's correct. True, a maximum 2 amot by 1 amot, but take a stone 2 amot by 1 amot by whatever. It's huge. Those are huge rocks. Were they that big?
They didn't have to fill up the hole.
Right, they didn't have to fill in nearly any of it. That's one. Number two, what kind of stone were they? So we have in our minds like the Ten Commandments. They were like limestone or whatever it was, But in reality, if we would think if God was going to make something out of Evan, what kind of stone would God use?
Marble.
Really? That's what you would use if you were God?
Something pretty, a pretty stone.
Yeah, that's pretty. Keep going. So you're
it could have been.
Why wouldn't you? If you had anything, wouldn't you make? Wouldn't you, like?
It could have
take the Hope Diamond
anything.
And make it all out of diamonds.
Yeah, but it's just writing on a message inside.
Why?
Imagine
that. They're never meant to be read. Nobody ever read it. It was hidden. It was never read. Right? Sapphires is something really cool. Right? And if you had unlimited quantity of fine stones, why would it be? Right? Yeah. You can make him for whatever you want.
Say Elohim already.
Correct. Pasuk Yudayin. Vayishma Yehoshua et kol ha'am bireo. Vayomer el Moshe kol milchama b'machanen. Remember, Yehoshua is standing at the top, and he's standing at like the middle of the mountain, kind of. And he hears the voice, the call, the sound of the nation, bireo.
In its evil.
In its wickedness. And he says to Moshe, kol milchama b'machanen. There's a sound of war in the machanen. Moshe says, Vayomer, this is one of the few puns you'll see in the Torah. Vayomer, Ein kol anot gvura. Anot is the, like, is anot is screaming. You're not hearing the screams of gvura. Ein kol anot chalusha. You're not hearing the screaming of weakness. Kol anot anochi shomea.
It's a different word.
See the nun, the little dot in the nun? So that dot is very important. It makes it into a different...
It's a different dot in the nun, and it's a different
nikud
under the ayin.
Anot, yes. It's a call of... Anot is wildness, I hear. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes a play on words. I don't hear anot this, I don't hear anot that. I hear anot.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah?
No, I was confused.
How does he translate it in English?
No, I was confused because I thought it was just
No, it's Moshe speaking.
Which part? The last part?
Yeah, that last part. Moshe saying, I don't hear...
It's the voice of them that's singing, do I hear?
Right. Go on.
I'll start it off. It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery.
Shout, right.
Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome.
Rather.
It's the voice of them that sing, do I hear?
That sing. Fascinating.
The uncle says, kol demechaychin.
Chaychin?
Demechaychin.
Chiyuch is...
Smile.
Smiling. Smile. It's really...
Revelry.
Right. It's a whole mahalach I'm not going to share with you now. Vayihi pasuk yitev. This pasuk. Here's we get to the part where it's... So Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down the mountain. He's with Yehoshua. He's holding the Luchot HaBrit, these magical, mystical, miraculous stones of covenant. Luchot HaBrit.
Okay.
And they're also called Luchot HaIdut.
Right.
Okay. Now, Vayihi kasher karav el hamachane, as he comes close... Meaning he turns the bend. He's on the mountain and they're walking along the path. And he turns the bend and now all of a sudden comes into visibility. He can see the camp. Vayar et ha'egel u'mecholot. He sees the egel, he sees the calf, and he sees mecholot.
Dancing.
Revelry. Vayichar af Moshe. Moshe is angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, and he cast from his hands the luchot. Vayishaber otam tachat ahar.
Like tashlech.
And he broke them at the foot of the mountain.
He caused them to break.
Vayashlech miyadav, vayishaber otam.
He caused them to break. Not vayishbor, vayishaber. He caused them to break.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Right.
Why doesn't it say vayishbor?
Caused them to break.
What doesn't it say Vayishbor?
What is the meaning of Vayihi caused them to break?
That would mean something else.
It's more active than Vayishbor. I think it's even
if
more
I'm not dropping the cup. I'm causing it to drop. Really?
Yeah, there's a difference of intention. There's a difference of effort. There's a difference of
Vayishbor, and he broke them. Vayishaber. I don't know.
One's a conscious act, one's accidental.
He threw them. Vayashlech. He's angry. Let's read the words. Vayicharaf Moshe.
He got
angry.
That reaction mirrors God's reaction.
But, right. And he cast from his hands. It doesn't say he threw them. What does that mean that he sent them forth? It's like very weird. Okay?
I think Vayishaber is the mountain that
he
threw them. It's either more or less active than Vayishbor.
More or less.
I don't know enough to be able to do that, but it's clearly different than from Vayishbor.
I'll actually.
If Esther was here, she would tell us.
But Esther's not here. I'll bolster what you're saying. Hold your place here and look at chapter 34. Chapter 34. We're going to come back to this pasuk in a minute. Okay? 34 Aleph. Lamed Dalet Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So then Moshe goes back up, or coming back, before he comes back up, after the whole thing, everything dies down, everybody comes down, Hashem says to Moshe, Psal lecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim, Psal lecha, hew out for yourself two tablets of stone, karishonim, like the first ones, v'chatavti al haluchot, et hadvarim asher hayu al haluchot harishonim asher shivarta.
Shivarta.
That's right. I wanted to bolster what you said.
Anyway,
let me translate. I will write on the luchot the things that were on the luchot harishonim asher shivarta. It would say if you broke them, shavarta. So linguists among us, all of those who are, dikduk experts, can tell us the difference between shavarta and shibarta. Shivarta, you caused them to be broken. Right. What does that mean? How do you cause something? It's like something your kid would say. Did you break it? No, I didn't break it.
Well, this well,
but it's broken. I didn't break it. I caused it to be broken. What's the difference? I don't know. What's the difference?
But there's one, know, there's one thing that I don't know. To take it and throw it. Another thing to just drop it out of shock.
Does it say shock? Vayashlech miyadav.
Or it's like to take a hammer and break it. Intentionally, if I drop it, the act of when it lands on the floor, I didn't have anything to do with the landing.
Good, and you would accept that?
No.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm saying, like, that's one's passive versus active.
If that helps you, that's great. Okay? That's the question.
Don't we have, like, a Hebrew diktuk book somewhere? Like a biblical Hebrew book.
You going to study that now?
Where is it?
I took a class in college. I started taking a book in biblical Hebrew. And I missed like two of the classes. And realized I had no idea what was going on, A. And B, I found it mind-numbingly boring. So I dropped the class. It's now coming in handy. But it would come in handy if I knew the difference between Vayishbor and Vayishaber. But sadly, I can't help you. But this is not the main issue that I wanted to discuss. The issue that I wanted to discuss is actually something deeper than that. Says Rambam. And then the Rambam, Hilchot Deot. Rambam talks about the golden mean. The Rambam's very famous. His very famous thesis, or his whole treatise, is that we all have different attributes. Right? And some of us are born with certain temperaments. We're cheap, or we spend too much money, or we're compassionate, or we're not compassionate enough, or we're angry, or we're calm. So the Rambam says, in general, a person has to, he says, "Mitzuvim anachnu lalechet bidrachim habeinoniim." Right? You have to find, this is a very famous theory, the very famous position of the Rambam. You have to find the golden, the Kshvil HaZahav, he calls it. Hadrachim HaTovim VaHayisharim. You find the middle path. And if you find yourself going too much towards one direction, then you have to push yourself off to the middle.
He says go to the extreme in order to come to the middle.
He says if you are going to one extreme, then you have to push yourself towards the other extreme to right yourself, which makes sense. When you never intentionally go to an extreme. And you're always supposed to find the golden path, find the middle way. Okay? He says, except, yesh de'ot she'asur lo la'adam ninhog behem bebenoniyut. There are certain attitudes, there are certain attributes that a person is forbidden. You're not allowed to try to find the middle path. Rather, you're supposed to always go to the extreme. And one of those is, I'm skipping to the second one, v'chein ha'kas. That is true, says the Rambam, about anger. Mida ra'ahi admam limaod. It's a terrible attribute. V'ra'oi la'adam shitrachek mimena ad hakatzeh ha'acher. A person should distance himself to the greatest degree possible. V'yelamed asmo shelo yich'as. He should teach himself never to be angry. V'afilu al davar shiratzui la'ra'oi lich'os alav. And even something that you think is appropriate to be angry about, you should be angry, don't get angry. I'll skip a little bit. One second.
Doesn't say you got angry. Does
really?
Amru chachamim, one second. Amru chachamim harishonim. Doesn't say Pinchas got angry.
I didn't think so.
No. Pinchas riyad.
I thought he got angry.
Amru chachamim harishonim. Kol hakoes ki'ilu avodah zarah. Avoid avodah zarah. Right. If you are angry, as if you worshipped idols. V'amru, shekol ha-ko'ez im chacham hu, chachmato mistaleket mimenu. And if you're angry, your chachma, your wisdom, leaves you. Im navihu, nevuato mistaleket mimenu. Right? Your prophecy leaves you. V'en chayim, v'abale kas en chayim chayim. Therefore, lifikach, tzivu lihitrachek min ha-ka'as. You should distance yourself from anger ad shiyanhig atzmo shelo yargish afilu dvarim amachisim. You don't feel things that make you angry. Bizohi derech hatova. That's the way a person should purport himself. Don't get angry. Distance yourself from anger. The Gemara says something. The Gemara says
Hashem gets angry.
The Gemara says something fascinating. I'm leaving you, but the Gemara says something fascinating. You want to know a person? There are three ways to know a person.
Kiso,
Kiso,
Kiso, right? Money, Kaso, anger, Koso, right? Take away the Kas. Says the Rambam, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't let them get the best of you. Don't react. Which only leads me to the question, the very fascinating question, of course. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot out of anger? Labiyut. How is that possible?
Wait a minute. Who said Moshe Rabbeinu is perfect?
Oh. Okay.
Why can't he be angry?
Option A is he did.
I think it's a stronger question, like we're supposed to emulate God, and if God gets angry, that's a stronger, and God got angry here.
Hold on.
God got so angry, he didn't do it, but he was ready to.
The answer is, you have to say, that first of all, does God get angry? Right.
He doesn't have emotions in the first place.
Correct. So therefore, what's the answer? If God doesn't have emotions, what's Vayichar Af Elohim?
For us to understand.
If you would have been human, how you could describe the feeling, the experience.
Does God have emotions?
No.
So if God isn't drawn by emotions, Charon Af is some kind of imagery for us to understand and relate to. But Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu is and does get angry. It would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu did act in anger.
Well, it's not the first time.
What?
It's not the first time.
Okay. Not the first time?
Didn't he strike the rock?
That's later.
Yeah.
Oh, later on, because he was told to hit the rock.
But he was
later on, fascinating, very good. Excellent. In Bamidbar, later on, it says, right, Moshe says, Shimuna Hamorim. You bitter people, am I supposed to get you water out of this rock? And Vayicharaf Moshe Vayach et ha-sela pa'amayim. Did it say Charonaf? From Kaz, Parshat Chukat. Okay? Chaf, I think. Okay? Vayach et ha-sela pa'amayim. He hit it twice. And the Ramban says over there, that God says to Moshe, you can't lead my people. Why? Can't have angry people leading the people. That's not how we do it. You see it? Right here.
Yeah. But
it
doesn't say
Vayichar.
It doesn't
say
Vayichar. It doesn't.
That's what they say. It doesn't say that. Here it does say he's angry. And here it does say he threw down the rock. So I'll start with the Midrash. Okay? Says the Midrash in Devarim Rabbah. Zesh Amar HaKatuv. So could Moshe get angry? So the first answer we'll say is, as Rina said, he's human. Yes. He could get angry. Now, well, what would we say if the Prime Minister of Israel, you know, got mad at whatever Hadassah and started throwing things around in the what?
Yeah, I was going to say you don't know that he has it.
This is what happened with him and Bennett. I'm sure.
In front of everyone, he starts throwing cameras and it's on the news. Could you imagine the news cycle? Right? Could you imagine?
So it's a good thing Moshe didn't live in a time with 24-hour news cycle.
He didn't have to live in 24-hour news cycle.
He
did it in front of everyone.
But did he?
What?
Because they were in a revelry. Did they even see him?
Did they notice it?
Do they notice? Fascinating. And if they had noticed it, what? Then they would have said, oh, maybe you're not the right guy for us. I don't know. Okay. Zesh Amar HaKatuv. This is what the Torah, the Katuv says. It says in Kohelet, Al Tevahel Beruchacha Lichos. Don't lose your temper. Don't lose your spirit in anger. Umi haya zeh shekaas? And who is this person related? Who is this pasuk relating to? Moshe. Shnei emar vayicharaf leMoshe vayashlich miyadav et haluchot. Okay. Then Moshe Rabbeinu got angry and he threw down the luchot. Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Said to him God, Heh, Moshe. Ha, Moshe. Hey, Moshe. Ata mafig chamatcha b'luchot habrit? You take mafig et chamatcha. You hafig means to
produce.
No, hafig means to cool.
No, it doesn't.
Hafig.
What?
Hafig.
Oh, hafig with a gimel.
Yeah, with the gimel. You cool off your anger by breaking my stuff. Mevakesh ata shafig et chamati. You want me to take out my anger that way? If I did what you did, there wouldn't be a world anymore. Amar lo,
uma yesh li la'asot. So what
else should I do? What do you want me to do? I mean, not what else should I do. What Moshe Rabbeinu said is, how should I fix it?
Well,
Amar lo letet alecha katriki. He says, okay, I'll punish you. What do we say to our kids if they break something in anger?
Fix it.
That's exactly what they say. You broke it, you fix it. This is what the Midrash says. At shivart otam, you broke it. At machlif otam, you fix it. Hu hadavar, remember that pasuk we learned? Perak lamed aleph, pasuk aleph. Psal lecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim. Right? Asher shivarta. You broke it, you make the new ones. That's what it said. You lost it, you broke it, you're angry, you go buy it yourself. You earn the money, you go buy it yourself. Moshe Rabbeinu, I did the first one, said God. You broke my luchot. You have to fix them. You have to make the second ones. Right? So the Midrash actually, fascinating, the first Midrash says specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu broke them. Why did he break them? He broke them in anger. And it's for that reason the Rabbeinu Shalom said, I'm not making a new one. I did it once already. You want new ones? You make it yourself. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right? Who's going to write on the luchot?
Hashem
wrote on the luchot. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make, Moshe Rabbeinu made the second luchot, not God. Fascinating. Okay, that's so one like that possible element. Understanding. Yeah.
Moshe couldn't do that element the same way Hashem did. It's beyond our human, as we understand.
How God made them, right? They weren't the same luchot.
But if he wrote on them, is it possible he wrote on them so you could still see from both sides? And
what?
He didn't.
No, Hashem wrote on them.
Hashem did write on them.
So God did write on them the second time. The first thing we say is, so the first approach is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened, how could he have broken the luchot? The answer is, he did. He was angry. And he was rebuked for it. He was reprimanded for it. Is it understandable? Yes. Is it acceptable?
No.
Not so. That's one. Answer number two, look at Rashi. Vayashlech miyadav. We're going to see two different interpretations, or at least two or three different interpretations. Actually, we answer number two before we get to Rashi. One second before we get to Rashi, there's another midrash I wanted to share with you. Okay. Here we are. Another midrash. Amar Rabbi Rechia b'shem Rabbi Chelba b'mashum Rabbi Shmar b'Nechemya. Remember what we said. How is it there's going to be different gradations of interpretation? Okay, this one is even worse. Haluchot arkan haya shisha tfachim v'rachavan shlosha. So it was six. The luchot was six tfachim wide, three long, six long, three wide. Okay, six tfachim, like this. Heavy. Huge. How is it that Moshe Rabbeinu carried them? Moshe machzik b'shnayim, v'akarach shbaruch hu machzik shnayim, u'shnei tvachim rebach b'emtza. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding on to one side. God is holding on to the other side. So Moshe is like holding the luchot, but he's holding half. And imagine, who's holding the other half? No one's holding the other half. They're kind of like floating in the air. Okay? So if you ask yourself this question, what would happen if Moshe Rabbeinu let go?
What's the thing?
Nothing would happen. If God is holding the luchot, so you think that Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh God, I'm tired, can I take a break? Oh, what's going to happen? No. They would be there. So how did he break them?
Well, that's what I was thinking, though, when you said, like, the passive, what's the difference, is that there was some connection between him and Hashem and his luchot as he's carrying them, and when he saw the Chet HaEgel, that connection was broken. And so he could no longer...
Hold on, one second. Therefore it says, Gavru Yadav Shel Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Gavru, his hands were stronger, overpowered, V'achaz B'luchot, he grabbed the luchot, V'shavran.
He took them out of the force field.
That's right. He took them from God's hands, he grabbed them out of God's hands, and he broke them. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's worse than Shavarta. Shavarta means you broke them. Shibarta would mean...
You made them break.
That's right. You know, Shibarta means not only did you break them, I was holding them. Give me those. Boom! You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Active versus passive.
Right. Much more active. Lefika chamarlo asher shibarta. That's why God said to him that you broke them. I didn't break them. I was holding them. You took them from me. How does that work? Hard to know. But that's like, so we had Moshe broke them in anger. Then we have over here to the right of that, Moshe grabbed them from God and broke them in anger. Okay? That's option number two.
Could it also be he lost his right to hold them because of his anger?
But then it's more passive.
Right. Well, let's get to more passive.
If you ask Hashem to simplify, you like...
Let's get
Once
to more. Let's get to more passive. Okay, that's extreme anger, middle anger. Let's go to number middle ground. Look at Rashi for a second. Pasuk Yud Tet. Okay, we see a spectrum of anger. It's a problem. It's a theological problem to think that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his temper to such a degree. He's supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. He's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? To what degree are we going to accept this level of humanity? We can understand his frustration, but breaking the luchot. This is not your cell phone. Right? It's not. This is the physical manifestation of God in the world. Quite literally. Says the Rashi, Vayashlech miyadav amar, he said, Ma Pesach shu echad min ha-mitzvot. Pesach is just one mitzvah. Amra Torah kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. And the Torah said that if you are ben nechar, if you're not Jewish, you may not eat from the Korban Pesach. HaTorah kula kan, I'm holding in my hands the whole Torah. V'chol Yisrael mumarim, all of the Jewish people are mumarim, they're apostates. They're all rebelling against God. V'aitnen alehem, I'm going to give them this. One mitzvah of kol ben echar le'yochal bo, and we don't let non-Jews. I have the whole Torah, man. I'm going to give it to them. So there's something fascinating about this. The first thing that's fascinating about this, by the way, just understand, this is totally based upon exactly the this is from straight out of a Gemara in Shabbat. It's in Yerushalmi. It appears in other places as well. Exactly word for word. Okay. And the second half. So one second. So what's fascinating about Rashi is, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not breaking it in anger. Rather, why is he breaking it?
You don't deserve it.
But he's...
It's a calculated
decision. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the luchot and he thinks to himself, no, boom, I have to break it. Okay? And in fact, the second half of this Gemara, of this thing is...
This theme with Moshe in the Midrash, right from the very beginning, where he said, what do you mean you're saving the Jewish people? They don't deserve to be saved.
Well,
it started all the way back there, that he's making, passing judgment on them. He's playing God, so to speak.
What's very fascinating is, once I'm playing God, that you mentioned that, the Gemara continues, in the Midrash, the Gemara continues and says, Uminalan, how do we know, Shekadosh Baruch Hu hiskim al yado? I mean, the Gemara says in three times that Moshe Rabbeinu made decisions on his own, and God agreed. See, we separated from his wife, and the Gemara says in Shabbat that he added a day. He, like, God said, give the Torah on the 5th of Sivan, and Moshe said, I needed to add a day. They weren't ready yet. And he, like, changed the date. Okay? And then this is the third thing, that he broke the Luchot. How do we know? Shene Emar. Okay? Asher.
Shibarta.
It's actually, he puts in a shavarta. I don't know why he says that. Asher shivarta. V'amar Rish Lakish, I have to underline that for a second. V'amar Rish Lakish says, Rish Lakish, listen to what he says. Yishar koach shavarta. Shkoyach. You did the right thing. Asher shavarta. Meaning it's like totally a midrashic insertion. One gets the sense that in that time, right, they were questioning, how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu could do that? And came Chazal, or came Rish Lakish and said, not only was Moshe Rabbeinu right, Kadosh Baruch Hu came and gave him Yashar Koach afterwards. That came right. That came Moshe Rabbeinu, and that sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu has the right to come along and say, what Ribono Shel Olam wants, we know what's best for the Bnei Yisrael down here. There's a level of Emunah Chachamim in there. You can see it's a very, you can see it being a very contemporary machloket. A very, very contemporary machloket. A very fascinating issue. Very fascinating. Anyway, so, but according to the Rashi, according to this Midrash, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a calculated decision. How can I give it to them? What I'd like to ask you is Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal V'Chomer, you know what a Kal V'Chomer is? Is this Kal V'Chomer convincing? What in the world does it have to do with Pesach? So, Pesach, Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo, and Inanju. How in the world, so now, and they're worshipping idols, how can I give them the Torah?
Pesach is the proof that God made the world.
If you were doing a Kal V'Chomer, Could you not think of a better example not to give them the luchot? Can somebody give me an example of what it should have said? It's fascinating. Somebody give me an example? You can't think of anything better for Moshe Rabbeinu to say? Nothing? What's written on the luchot? Next. Oh! Item number two. Right? Lo yelehem Elohim achirim al panai. Item number three. Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna asher b'shamayim mimal. Right? It says on here, don't make a pesel. See over there, they made a pesel. How can I give them something that's violating exactly what it says? Isn't that a...
Well, they need it.
What?
That's when they should have it.
They need it.
Yeah. Okay, all I'm saying is, it's very fascinating. That's it's very fascinating. What? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? One second. Okay. I'll read you a couple of more midrashim. One second. Says the midrash, Lemaha darvar dome. What is this comparable to? L'sar sheshalach lekadesh isha ima sarsur. Right? So a person sent his messenger to go betroth him, go do the kiddushin, go marry me to some girl. Okay? So then he went and sent the letter. He says, here's what you write. You write a shtar kiddushin. And they say, you can do this. They used to do this. I write out mekudeshet li. And if she accepts the shtar, isha mekudeshet bekesef b'shtar b'biyas. If she accepts, just like she would accept the ring, she accepts the shtar, she is mekudeshet. So he writes out this beautiful letter. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. And this letter is a shtar kiddushin. La 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 di da di da. Okay? Ad shahalach hashaliach lekadsha halcha isha v'kir kila imacher. So the shliach is holding on to the... And he goes in, he's going to give it to her, and he knocks on the door, right? And he opens the door, and there's, and who opens the door? Some guy opens the door.
Her boyfriend.
Right, her boyfriend. Hasasur, so this guy, and my boss sent me, and I thought everything was good. Ma'asa, natala taktuba, shenatano hasar, v'kadeshu kra'a. So he takes the shtar, takes the thing, and he tears it up. He says, Mutav kishitidon kipnuya v'lo ke'eshetish. It's better that she should, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be mad at her, that's fine, but better that he be mad at her as her girlfriend as opposed to be mad at her as his wife. Kach asa Moshe. So said Moshe. Kevan sha'asu Yisrael oto ma'aseh. That's what he says. They're the luchot habrit. Remember I said, they're the luchot of the covenant itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I give this to them, then their action becomes even worse. You like that one?
Yeah.
It's better for me. What?
It's relatable.
It's better for me to break the luchot. Mutav shelo yikablu et haTorah v'yunitodin kishogegin v'ayu mizidin. Okay? It's boom. It's better for me to break these things. They're not going to be mizidin. And then afterwards, we can fix things up. You know, she can apologize. She can cry. She can beg for forgiveness. And then they can go and make up again. Mizid is on purpose, intentional. It's better to do it. It's better they be accidental or whatever. You know, I wasn't thinking. I don't know what I was doing, as opposed to.
Or I didn't know it was wrong.
I didn't know it was wrong. Or we hadn't made the deal yet. We weren't married yet. I don't know if that makes you feel better, but you know what I'm saying. But that's most of Moshe Rabbeinu's shikul hadat. That's what he says to himself. But again, according to both of these midrashim,
that completely contradicts the previous midrash.
Right. That's what we wanted to show you.
Completely contradicts. What's Moshe's attitude towards Bnei Israel? Is his attitude that he's trying to validate, to help them? Or is his attitude of harsh judging them? They don't deserve it.
Right. Right, trying to help them. One second, it gets even better. So we saw Moshe Rabbeinu in extreme anger grabbing from God. We saw Moshe Rabbeinu in anger throwing the luchot. We saw Moshe Rabbeinu now making a calculated decision to break the luchot. Okay?
Either because they don't deserve it, or because... You know,
either because they don't deserve it, or to help them, or Kli Yakar says something even more shocking. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchot? Says Kli Yakar. Some say he broke the luchot kedei lihitzdarev gam atzmo imahem bechet. Don't make faces, jeez.
Wow.
He did it in order to sin. Okay? Yisrael garmu sheparchu ha'otiyot. We'll get to this in a second. The Jewish people caused the luchot, the letters, to fly away. U'moshe shavar ha'luchot. Moshe broke them. Why? Kedei shelo yuchal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar achale otam ve'eseh otcha l'goy gadol. So what's God going to say? He says, I'll destroy them and I'll make you into a great nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu would say, I'm not better than them. They're sinners, I'm sinners. You kill them, you got to kill
them. Then why does he say it, Vayichara?
What?
Why does he say Vayichara?
Oh, so that's what he's saying. So it's fascinating. That's why, what do you do with Vayichara? You ignore it. You know what I'm saying? But it's fascinating. That's calculated. That's even more calculated. That's not calculated for their, that's calculated so that I'll be like them. You know what I'm saying? That's like total calculation. Last one, Davar Acher, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Lo Shavar Moshe Taluchot, Ad Shenemar Lo Mipiag Vura. Hashem told him to break the Luchot. There was no Shikul Hadat. Why did Moshe do it? Moshe Rabbeinu would never have done such a thing. He was angry, yes. He would never have done such a thing unless he was explicitly.
Hashem, so then you can look at Vayashlecha and Vayishaber. Hashem made it happen.
Right. Okay. That's so we see. Extreme anger, let's go back to our summary. Extreme anger, if I was on a board. Extreme anger, Midrash 1. Like, grabs it from God. Anger, Shukul Hadat, more Shukul Hadat. Shukul Hadat on his own, for the benefit of the people, for the benefit of his people, on his own, God told him to do it. And of course, what's the last of the spectrum? Last spectrum is, he didn't do it himself. Very famous Midrash. Okay? Very, very famous Midrash. Says the Yalkut. One second. Let's have to find it. Here we are. When Moshe got close to Bnei Israel, and it got close to the place of defilement. Parchu ha'otiyot min haluchot. Remember, the luchot, the letters, were charut al haluchot. They were etched into the luchot, the act of God. So those letters, they're not letters like we see. They're not part and parcel. They're the letters of God. God took the letters. The Torah is Torat Chayim. It's a living Torah. He took those letters and he placed this energy, this information, this spirituality, placed them into these stones. And they're not fixed there. Don't think of these luchot as some physical thing. They represent the embodiment of the spirituality of the world. So they're the synthesis of the living and the living and the dormant and the dead, the living and the inanimate. It's the letters on the stones. So what happens when they got close and the letter, when the luchot came into proximity with the Avodah Zarah, parchu ha'otiyot min haluchot shayu charutot baluchot. The letters just said, we're not, forget it.
We're out of here.
We don't belong here. They started flying away. Goodbye. You can't have these two things together. You want to worship idolatry? Take the rocks. They're just rocks. And when the letters flew away, they cried out and wailed and said, "Oy lo'otam ha'anashim, woe is to the people. Sheshamu b'mozayim, they heard with their own ears. Behar Sinai lo ta'aseh lechapesa b'chol tmuna." Right? They heard with their own ears, "Don't make idols." U'la'ba'im yom asu egel. 40 days later, they made an egel. How could they do that? And then, woo! See ya. When Moshe saw this, nothing left. He's just holding rocks now. So what, these, they're not worth anything. They're nothing. He broke them. The letter is only significant if it has a letter from the king is only significant if it's signed. It's like a piece of paper. Okay? That's one thing. He says that's one interpretation. A. So they threw it on his own. Why would he throw it away? Because it's not worth anything. Okay, the rocks might be worth something, but it's not worth anything. The second thing he says is another interpretation. Va'od, moreover, so remember, one interpretation was that God was holding one side. Another interpretation is, remember we said this about the Aron. Right? The Aron, the Levium didn't carry the Aron, rather. It carried them. That there was a certain anti-gravity property of these special spiritual things. Again, the merging of the spiritual and the physical. The Luchot carried themselves. Because the Torah, the words of the Torah, they carried the Luchot. But once the letters left, that's what it says. When the letters flew away, heavy as a corpse. He couldn't hold them even with two hands. And that's why it says, Vayashlech midab. He's like, I can't. He just let them go. And what's Vayashlech? Vayashlech doesn't mean he threw them. Vayashlech means he cast them forth. Why? So they don't fall on his feet. He's like, Vayashlech midab. Okay? So did he break them? But again, what does that tie into? It's exactly the opposite of Vayichar Af Moshe. What's the point of Vayichar Af Moshe? So, what are we left with? We have to decide. Which interpretation do we find most appealing? Do we find the interpretation, I mean, you have basically a spectrum.
You're using it basically as a,
tableau.
On pass. On anger itself.
Right.
Like, if to put the midrashim in the context of, is it appropriate to get angry?
So if you were Rambam, what would you think Rambam in his Pirush HaNechumash would say about this? About this episode?
This opinion?
No, what would he say? Which opinion would the Rambam choose
that
to...
That he threw it so that he would also have a sin with him because he realized that his anger was a sin and he should get punished for it.
Huh. Fascinating. He threw it because of his anger.
Because he realized his anger was a sin, and he said, "I should get punished too."
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I skipped a bit of the Rambam. Fascinating.
Anger always a sin?
Rambam said always. Rambam says always. Rambam says the following. Okay. Afilu al davar shiratul bichosal. I'm reading for the Rambam. Don't be angry, even something that's worth being angry. Behim ratzah lahatil ema al banav ubnei beito al atzibor. Let's say you want to instill the fear of God into the community, the fear of you. Imaya parnas. If you were the gvir. V'ratzalich os aleim k'dei she'achazil mutav. Yare'e atzmo b'fneihem shehu ko'es.
Make it look like
he should fake it. K'dei liyasam, to afflict them. V'tiyah da'ato miyushevet b'no lebein atzmo. And his da'at, himself, his temperament, should be calm and serene. Okay. You shouldn't be angry. You should act angry. So what would the Rambam say? I believe the Rambam, if we had his Pirush HaNechumash, the Rambam would say, Vayichar Af Moshe, Kaviyachol, just as God doesn't act out of anger. He's not angry. It's not possible. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu faked anger. That's what the Rambam would say. That he didn't get angry. He acted angry. He exhibited anger, even though he himself was not angry. Because that's the ma'ala of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what I believe he would say. Is that the pshat? Is that the pshat? That's not the pshat. Pshat is he got angry. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is human. I personally find the midrash most compelling. Was the Kadosh Baruch Hu upset that he broke the luchot?
He understood.
He understood.
I think that was the secondary here.
The Yashar Koach, I think, is a little strong. Yashar Koach, that you broke them. Good job. That's a stretch.
Unless if you broke them, but you want to take the approach like they did, that Hashem destroyed the Beit HaMikdash instead of the people. Yashar Koach, that you took your anger out on the Luchot instead of taking your anger out on the people.
Right, but really, I never understood that Midrash. I always had trouble with that Midrash, because couldn't God have compassion if He wanted to? That you have to break something?
Sometimes
really? You have to break something?
No, sometimes. sometimes that's the compassion, because you have to try to save
your anger on 18 va'avanim. You have to punish. Okay, but the punishment has to be total destruction. Those are the two options? Sometimes. Interesting. Fascinating. Right? So it's food for thought. Because on the one hand, the Rambam is, you know, we should try to strive for the Rambam, to control our anger and never to become angry. But on the other hand, sometimes you have to, like you said, fake it. Sometimes you have to punish. And all the very choices that you have give the option to try to choose, where do we see Moshe Rabbeinu in this spectrum? Do we see him as this infallible leader? Do we see him as having made a mistake? Do we see him having succumbed to his anger? Or on the other hand, do we say that he made a decision? He made a calculated decision for whatever reason he made it. And the ramifications of it, he had to live with the ramifications, and the Jewish people had to live with the ramifications also. Mm-hmm. What's fascinating is, very fascinating, that in the Aron, what was carried in the Aron? The Luchot and the Shivrei Luchot. Mm-hmm. The broken Luchot. So one wonders, remember in Raiders, what were the Shivrei Luchot? Oh, you never saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? What were the Shivrei Luchot? Never saw it? It was sand. It was nothing. It was sand. But one doubts that it was sand. He broke them. Like he was pieces. So Moshe Rabbeinu always had to live with the fact, he always lived with the reminder that he broke the Luchot. He carried around the Shivrei Luchot. What does that tell you? You know what I'm saying? It's for the Jewish people, but it's also for him. That he always had the replacement Luchot, but he had the original Luchot that he broke.
But if it was a good thing that he broke it, a calculated good thing, then it's what you're implying.
Yeah, it depends. It all depends on how you see the act itself. All right, we'll stop here.